Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Doug McIntyre in for John and Ken Conway at 4 o'clock. And this hour, we've got a very busy hour ahead for you, including a chat with an L.A. City Councilwoman named Heather Hutt, who wants to ban cashless businesses. You know, these businesses only take credit cards or debit cards. We're going to get into that, as well as also the horrific apparent murder of a woman who her only sin appeared to be hanging a gay pride flag in front of her business, and she was killed for it. So we'll talk about that. And of course, anything that breaks, you can always count on the KFI newsroom for getting that for you right away. One of the things that, of course, we do here at KFI is keep an eye on Sacramento. Sacramento is one of those places that for the rest of the media, the only time Sacramento makes the news is when the Lakers are playing the Kings, pretty much. other than that, nobody cares. And that's a problem because an awful lot of stuff comes out of Sacramento that meddles in your lives, usually for special interest purposes or crazy ideological reasons. And in 1913, visionaries granted claimed the power for the people of California, the right to create these ballot measures. And they can't stand this when those ballot measures are used to rein in their power to grab your cash. And that's one of the reasons that the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association exists, is because, of course, the late, great Howard Jarvis created Prop 13, which is what allows people to stay in their homes when they reach retirement age, essentially. To talk to us about the latest power grab up in Sacramento, it's a pleasure to welcome back to KFI, John Capel, Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. John, how are you? I haven't talked to you in a while.
It's been a while. How have you been?
I'm fine. I'm just kind of, they let me in the building, you know, and I said, okay.
It's a thrill a minute up here in Sacramento, and yes, very little happens good here in this city. You're right. HJTA is known for proposing, and the voters passed Proposition 13, which has been remarkably successful in allowing people to stay in their homes. At the same time, it has produced a lot of revenue for local governments. All the things you heard about Prop 13, how it was the worst thing ever, is just not borne by the facts. But for many years now, the courts and the legislature have been poking holes in Proposition 13. So we have allied ourselves with the business community, and we have qualified a measure called the Taxpayer Protection and Government Accountability Act. It has already qualified for the November 2024 ballot. Well, the status quo, the progressives can't stand this, and they have seen the same polling we have, which shows that this proposal would be overwhelmingly popular. So they have proposed, this is a brazen sneak attack on not only Proposition 13, but the initiative process, which you just alluded to. And that is, if it passes, this thing is called Assembly Constitutional Amendment Number 13, and it's kind of ironic that they chose the number 13. I don't think that was by accident.
Oh, no, it's absolutely not by accident. It's absolutely to just make people think blindly, oh, it's Prop 13.
Exactly. We've seen this drill before. But what it would do, it would make the passage of the Taxpayer Protection Act very hard, because one of the things that we do is we reinforce and reinstate the two-thirds vote requirement for local special taxes, which was taken away through court decisions. So we're bringing that back. And the other thing that the Taxpayer Protection Act does, it provides unprecedented transparency in ballot measures, and it also restrains the use of fees disguised as taxes. It does a lot of really good things, and that's what has the very progressive folks very nervous here in Sacramento. So this is their ambush. They have proposed a constitutional amendment which, if it passes, would require that the Taxpayer Protection Act itself get a two-thirds vote of the electorate, and that is virtually impossible. Proposition 13 itself came very close. I believe it was 66.4%, but even Prop 13 would not have passed if this ACA 13 provision would be in the Constitution. And by the way, when the constitutions themselves passed in, let's go back to 1849, none of them passed by a two-thirds vote. So this is very sneaky. You know, they know that they can't take Prop 13 on directly. It remains the third rail of California politics. And so what they're trying to do is just a backdoor sneak attack on not just Proposition 13, but the initiative power that the original progressives, the good progressives back in 1911, Hiram Johnson, gave to the people of the state of California to bypass an indolent or corrupt legislature.
We're talking with John Capel of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. And it seems to me, again, as a casual observer of all of this, that we have this sort of schizo ballot measure system in place right now, where you have citizen groups that try to advance ballot measures to correct either injustices that exist or legislatively imposed injustices that they're trying to stop, versus special interests that can, for some reason, just, you know, at the snap of their fingers, they raise huge amounts of money and they just rubber stamp and get these things put on the ballot. And then enormously expensive elections take place where we've got voters voting on, for instance, liver, you know, purification measures and whether or not we should have dialysis, something that I'm totally unqualified to make a determination on things like that. How did the process break down? Because this, I don't believe that Hiram Johnson and the visionaries back in the day had any idea that we would be voting on arcane pieces of legislation. Meanwhile, the fundamental stuff like how much property taxes you end up paying can be messed with by legislators seemingly at will.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. The process of qualifying an initiative is increasingly difficult. They have changed the laws repeatedly to make it more difficult. I think they should allow a true citizens initiative should allow a year to qualify. Now we have 180 days. It's a very compressed, difficult process. And with the Taxpayer Protection Act that, again, we qualify for the November ballot, that was very expensive, and it's difficult. And you're right. these major special interest groups like the dialysis, the nurses, and some of the public sector labor organizations, they have a better chance at qualifying because they have the resources. But at the end of the day, Doug, I still trust the voters. You can qualify, special interest can qualify almost anything. Getting it passed is a little bit more difficult, and I do think overall voters do reject the things that they perceive as special interest. And that, in fact, the dialysis is a perfect example. They've tried that three times, and they've lost all three times. And so I do think that it is it is difficult to pass. The one that really disappointed me, of course, was and this was not from the initiative process, this was from the legislature, a bond measure for the high-speed rail project.
Right.
And obviously that did not turn out very well. So I would argue that some of the constitutional amendments proposed by the legislature and some of the bond proposals prepared by the legislature are as bad or worse than the worst initiatives out there, because again, the initiative process is that backstop against a corrupt legislature.
One of the, I spend my time, John, trying to figure out how to fix all the world's problems, because that's me. I'm a problem solver. And one of the things that I think would go a long way towards cleaning up these ballots would be if they would ban titles. If voters had to read the things instead of just the bold-faced sentence at the top, I think it would go a long way towards heading some of these off, because half the time people say, if I vote yes, am I getting the actual opposite of what I want? Or if I vote no, am I actually endorsing the thing that I want to stop? It can be, and there's an art to how they jury-rig these things.
You're absolutely right. And the politicization of the title, ballot title and summary process is something that's only a fairly recent phenomenon,
yep.
I'd say the last 20 years.
Yep.
And that is because our attorney generals, a series of attorney generals, have put on horrible titles. We have supported legislation that would transfer the duty of preparing the title and summary from the attorney general to the legislative analyst. And people say, well, the legislative analyst works for the legislature. We've seen a series of legislative analysts, and we don't always agree with them, but they're straight shooters. They're fair arbiters of the process. We would feel far more comfortable just giving that process to someone who is motivated by clarity, not by politics. And I think that would go a long way in addressing the problem. Of course, we still agree with you that everybody should read it and should understand it. These ballot pamphlets are very long and lengthy. I do think one of the benefits of early voting is that instead of trying to understand what you're voting on when you step into the voting booth, is that now you get the ballot pamphlet weeks in advance. It takes some homework, but if you believe in democracy, if you believe that the politicians work for us, then we've got to be good bosses, and we've got to understand the issues and the candidates that we're choosing. So there are instances, back in 1911, the powerful special interest was the railroads. And that's why Hiram Johnson and the progressives got us the initiative referendum and recall to bypass what was clearly at the time a corrupt legislature. And I would say the special interests today have just as much of a lock on the legislature as the railroads did in the early 1900s.
Okay, so to wrap this, what actions do we need to take to try to stop the latest shenanigans?
Amazingly, they just dropped this bill last Friday, and it's up for hearing tomorrow. So people can go on our website at hjta.org. We have an alert there. Go to our website. Call your legislator, particularly in the assembly. It's not in the Senate yet, but you can go to our website, find out who your assembly representative is, if you don't know, and give them a call and say, "This we will not accept a sneak attack on Prop 13 or the powers of direct democracy."
All right. As always, John, it's a pleasure. John Capel, Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. This is where it's not enough to be an informed electorate. It's a participatory activity. Being a citizen means You got to put a helmet on and get in the game and give some hits. You'll take some hits, but you got to give them back. You can't just be a passive observer on the sideline. You'll get rolled every time.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
This is KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. McIntyre in for John and Ken. Conway coming up at 4. Deborah, Eric, I'm drinking radio station coffee.
Oh, yeah, you did make a bad mistake.
I thought you were going to say you spilled it.
No, worse.
Are you okay?
I voluntarily went in there and I used that machine. And I'm walking around like, oh, look at this.
You know, the water hasn't been changed, Doug, in months.
I'm afraid this water came out of Bill Handel's radiator.
Oh, that's even worse.
Car radiator, yeah. Anyway, that's on me. That's totally on me. By the way, on September 6th at 7 p.m., my wife, Penny Pizer, the lovely Penny Pizer, will be reprising her hit show called Sonnets from Suburbia at the Stephanie Fury Theater right there on Melrose as part of the L.A. Independent Theater Festival, and we're very proud of her for the work that she's doing there. So come on out. It's a lot of laughs, actually, and you will enjoy yourself, and you'll be home early. How about that? That's, like, perfect. You get to have laughs and you're home by 8:30, and you can't beat that. This is a terrible story. I'm sorry to bring it to you, but it just brings up so many questions. An alleged perpetrator, has been identified by the San Bernardino County Sheriff in the murder of 66-year-old Laura Ann Carlton. She is the owner of that business called Mag.Pi, P-I. And she was killed, apparently, because she had the audacity to fly a pride flag outside of her business. And the police believe that Travis Ikeguchi, a 27-year-old of Cedar Glen, shot and killed her after shouting a bunch of anti-gay slogans, homophobic slurs, and apparently killed her. And then he was, by the way, subsequently killed by police after some kind of a confrontation that followed. All that'll be straightened out eventually. And according to Ari Carlton, one of Laura's children, she was described as fearless, a fierce ally of the LGBTQ community. And she said, we have plenty of members of the community in our family and our close friend groups. So it was just important to her to fly the flag. And because those are people that I was raised around and always loved. Now, I have no idea what, if anything preceded this. There's going to be a long investigation. There's not going to be a trial because the perpetrator allegedly is no longer with us. But it begs the question of how does this happen? We could just write this off and say, well, the guy was a nut, right? I mean, basically, any normal person walking around who doesn't shoot somebody because they got mad about something they said or did or got into a road rage incident, and next thing you know, lives are lost. And by the way, if the perpetrator survives, that life is lost too, because now you're going up the river forever, unless George Gascon has something to do with it. But the bottom line is you're going away for a long time. Society's stuck picking up the tab for you. Jurors are going to be inconvenienced as they go to a trial. All the dominoes start toppling over because your behavior is completely out of line. But it's particularly gruesome when there's some kind of political or societal hatred. This is how hate crimes ended up becoming codified by law. You know, originally I was opposed to hate crimes back in the day when they first became a thing. I thought, well, what difference does it make? If you're dead, you're dead. What difference does it make why someone killed you? You're dead. But it does make a difference. For instance, if somebody spray paints Kilroy was here on the side of your house, that doesn't really, it's vandalism and you got to paint your house and it's inconvenient. But if they write die Jew and you're the only Jew on the block, that has a whole other level of angst behind it. You know what I'm saying? And that's where hate crimes, that's why they were, because look, what is law? Law, all law is an expression of a society's values. If we value, order on the streets. We have stop signs. We have turn lanes. We have traffic lights. We have traffic enforcement. So we create a system of laws so that the streets are not chaotic. In fact, there's a fantastic piece of film you can see on YouTube. Somebody put a motion picture camera on a streetcar in San Francisco in 1906, just a few days before the San Francisco earthquake wiped out San Francisco. But what's totally fascinating about that is how crazy the streets are, because it's a combination of streetcars, pedestrians, horse-drawn vehicles, people on horseback, and early automobiles in 1906. And there's no right lane, left lane. Nobody knows what side of the street this. There's no crosswalks. It's total chaos. You watch this streetcar go down with a camera in front of it, and the streets are crazy. Well, people eventually realized we need to make order of that. So we passed laws to create traffic lanes and make roads livable. Similarly, if we have a behavior that we disagree with, we'll pass laws to punish people for breaking those laws, either through fines or incarceration. But when you have crazy people, then it's easy to dismiss something like this as just saying, well, it's a crazy person, but it's a crazy person who clearly targeted this woman in this business because he saw the pride flag, started shouting homophobic slurs. And as a society, we have decided that racial attacks or homophobic attacks, et cetera, these hate crimes, represent something that society wants to take a stand against, which is why we passed these laws and why we created a category called hate crimes. Like I said, initially, I didn't see the need for it, but I've come to change my opinion on that as I realized that it is simply an expression of society's growth. That this is something that was once common and we no longer want to tolerate it, and yet we seem to have more of it. And there's a particular blowback against the gay community right now and all the other alphabets that are attached to the LGBTQ communities and all the other letters that are added to the end of that as new groups come along. But it cost this woman her life. And now we have a 27-year-old who's also dead because he got so crazed about this. And you really have to wonder, why are people taking issues and going so far over the line that they're just either threatening people's lives, which is one of the fears, by the way, we have to warn a former president of the United States who's going down to Georgia on Thursday and had to say, please stop posting stuff that can get jurors killed or the judges killed or the prosecutors killed, because then it becomes mobocracy. Then it really does become just a thugocracy where you have to worry about muscling up in order to prevent violence from becoming the tail that wags the dog of society. Meanwhile, we're going to talk with an LA City Councilwoman, Heather Hutt, in just a bit about the cashless society that they're pushing on us, and she's pushing back. Conway will stop by at 4 o'clock, so consider yourself warned.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Doug McIntyre in for John and Ken, Tim Conway Jr. at 4 o'clock. And this story, I'm very happy to have our next guest with us because a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were out in Canoga Park. There's some big food court thing we got talked into going to. And I'm wandering around. I didn't know what any of the food was. And then when I wanted to buy a bottle of water, okay, one bottle of water, and they wouldn't take money. I had to charge it. And that was one toke over the line for me. And it says right on the money, on all the money, it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, except increasingly that's not the case because businesses have gone cashless, which becomes a real issue. Joining us right now is the L.A. City Councilwoman representing Council District 10, which is Koreatown, Mid-City, Crenshaw, Lehman Park, etc. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Heather Hutt. Councilwoman Hutt, thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
Oh, hi, Doug. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I'm sorry that you had that experience, but that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. Now, again, I'm not an unbanked person. I have a bank account, although my wife doesn't let me anywhere near it, and rightly so. But that said, I mean, you know, this is an issue. And again, this is kind of the long tail of COVID, that because we were trying to have a contactless society to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, a lot of companies jumped on this as a public service, and then others did it because, frankly, it's more convenient for them.
That's right. It is convenient for businesses, but inconvenient for the unbanked, inconvenient for seniors. And you know what? It's inconvenient for somebody that is fleeing domestic violence. And we have to take all those things into consideration when we're talking about moving our economy in Los Angeles. And we can't move it if we're leaving folks out.
Well,
it's about equity.
Yeah, and above and beyond that, it says right on the money, folks, take a dollar bill out of your pocket and just right under the United States of America, it says this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. And there's no asterisk that says unless the mall says they're only taking a debit card.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, there isn't a caveat there for the mall. That's true.
Now, go ahead. So what is it that you're actually proposing?
I'm really asking that the city of Los Angeles do an ordinance that says there has to be an option. There has to be a cash option so that people can make these decisions. Just like you had an experience with your water bottle, there are constituents that have reached out to me even after this motion saying, hey, I was at the Greek Theater, which is the L.A. property. I bought my ticket pre-COVID, then it got postponed. Once they put it back on the calendar, I went to the event. My life had changed. I was unbanked. I didn't have the same programs available. When I left the house, I promised my 9-year-old daughter I'd bring her back a T-shirt. I got to the front to bring her the T-shirt, and I couldn't make the purchase. Now my daughter doesn't trust me. That is terrible.
Yeah, well,
that's a terrible experience for a parent to have, to make a promise to their child, and so on and so forth. You know, somebody trying to flee and they're hacked or they're tracked through their purchases through whatever card we have, not to mention, you know, what happens with cybercrime.
Well, you know, businesses, it seems to me that someone's put pencil to paper and made some calculation that this will cost them some business, like a hothead like me storming out of the mall because I couldn't buy a bottle of, sparklets. Because I didn't want to put it on my charge card. But as a general rule, businesses want to be as accommodating to their customers as possible by excluding a bunch of a demographic that would not have access to credit cards and debit cards to make these purchases. It's going to cost them some business, but they must feel like, well, the amount of time spent having, first of all, cash at cash registers makes them vulnerable to robberies. And that's a real consideration. I get that, especially considering what's been going on lately. But also just in terms of manpower, the more electronic you can make things, the fewer people you have to hire. And I'm sure that that factors into the decision on why this is happening.
Well, that is important because now you're saying using these cards is a job killer. And we don't want to kill any jobs. We want people to work. And so that's an important factor, that people need to go to work. And if that means that they're the person that is moving the cash, then we want them there. Let me give you some statistics. 7% of California's population is unbanked, or about 20% of them are underbanked. They have irregular access to banking services, or they're using check cashing something or others to get a debit card, to pay a fee for a card that they have to use and pay a fee every time they swipe that card. So, you know, if you're poor, you can't afford to spend $40 on fees, and you prepaid your card for $200, you only have $160 to spend. That's not reasonable. Also, there are businesses that went cashless, like, for instance, Sweetgreens in 2016, but they found out, hey, this isn't working out, and they bought cash back into their policy, and so now they're cash. And there are other places, just so that folks know, like New York, Philadelphia, Colorado, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Washington, D.C., that have the same kind of proposals. San Francisco, we're talking to right now in Berkeley, right in California, who have the same ordinances that say, hey, this is not going to be a cashless city. And so they're helping us develop even more language to really make this an all-inclusive community.
All right.
It needs to be about equity.
All right. City Councilwoman Heather Hutt, representing Councilmatic District 10 in Los Angeles. We'll follow the path of this. Thanks for your time. Appreciate you coming on today. Okay, you know. By the way, Deborah, you know who I learned this from, and this was years ago, was our very own Tim Conway Jr.
Oh, really?
I was with Tim. He had to FedEx something someplace, and I'll ask him about this if he should lower himself to come in.
Well,
and
he's
do.
Wandering the halls. He just gave me a thumbs up, so I think I heard him. I think he heard you.
He's always wandering the halls. But we went into a FedEx place in Burbank. He had to FedEx something someplace, Mr. Big Shot. And at the time, there was a time in Tim's life when he was trying to have a low profile in terms of finances. I'm just going to leave it at that, okay? He didn't want to leave a lot of paper trail. So pretty much he had every dollar he owned in the world on him at any given time. And the FedEx people wouldn't take cash. And he's the one that read, and it was it stuck in my head. He's the one that pulled the dollar bill out and read, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, to the FedEx clerk.
That's
in
great.
The store.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, you can see him doing that, right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, he had to read it twice, though, to get it right.
Oh, yeah, I'm
but
sure.
Anyway, the thing is, he did read it. And it struck me then that, wait a second, when all of a sudden do these guys get to decide that the U.S. greenback is no longer acceptable to purchase products in the United States of America? It seems It seems not right.
Well, he told them.
He sure did. Mm. And now city council jumping on it. It only took about 25 years to get around to this.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
McIntyre in for John and Ken. And the plan as of now is to let me back in the building for one more day tomorrow. We'll see if that sticks overnight. People can
I'll let you in, Doug. Don't worry.
They can come to their senses, though, Eric. So, you know, management may, the wheels could turn. But that's the plan as of now. And thanks, by the way, to Ray Lopez, to Dana, to Eric, and to Deborah Mark for 2 days. We got one more day. We can do it, folks. We can soldier through this. And then John and Ken will be back in the saddle on Thursday and Friday. Conway at 4 o'clock. Things are not going great for Brittany. I know we freed Brittany, but it seems to me that she's a little beyond the buoy. The latest one is, besides the divorce filing and all that, is more topless pictures, more nude photos that she's posting, and some guy licking her feet, which is an image we didn't necessarily need. So, even the Britney fans are starting to get a little scared that perhaps maybe she needs a little adult supervision. And this is, you know, I don't want to make light of this because I personally, it's one man's opinion. What do I know? I'm not a doctor. I'm a patient, in fact. It seems like the girl needs some help.
Maybe free Britney wasn't the best idea.
It might not have been. And this will be really not fun if it takes a real ugly turn, as these things can frequently do. That's also the case with Mr. West, the artist formerly known as Kanye or whatever name he's going by today.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. He's got a wife, although I don't think he's actually married. It was like some ceremony that they performed themselves. And, you know, she likes to show the goods, and apparently he likes her to show the goods. They're in Italy, and she's essentially naked in Italy. There are statues in Italy that are wearing more clothes than she's wearing. So I don't know what that's about. And then the last one in this is Lizzo. The empire that was Lizzo seems to be crumbling as bad vibes have crept in like Ellen DeGeneres.
Good.
All of a sudden, Lizzo's got some issues from empowerment to possibly... She's now been kicked out of the NFL. Do you know how bad you have to be? There are murderers and wife beaters that are in the NFL, but Lizzo has been told you cannot appear at the halftime show. And I don't think she had even gotten the gig. They just went out of their way to say, oh no, we're not even considering it. When you're too rotten, that's like when I wrote that piece about Van Nuys Boulevard when I saw that the dirty bookstore at Victory and Van Nuys had closed. Is that when a neighborhood is too far gone for a dirty bookstore, then you know you have jumped the shark in terms of seediness. Hey, Conway.
Yes, ma'am.
Conway
yes,
was a sir. Frequent. He had one of those frequent.
And Mark Thompson's.
Yeah. Look at that. Maybe it was. He had a card where you just punch it in.
This is
bookstore.
Wait, a frequent reader program.
Yeah, it was a nine. Then yeah. Nine, you have to pay for. The tenth is free. As
right,
as I recall.
Venus Fair was my home turf.
That was it. Yeah. This one went south. Anyway, yeah. The building is still there. So I was telling a story. We had the city councilwoman Heather Hutt on, who's trying to do away with cashless businesses in L.A. I was telling a story. I don't know how many years ago this was, but you were far. Far in advance of this, we were in a FedEx store in Burbank.
Yes, I remember that.
And the guy wouldn't take you wouldn't take cash.
Right.
And at that time, and I'm just going to be diplomatic here, you were trying to keep a low profile.
That's
in terms
right.
of the paper trail.
I had no credit cards. The IRS is breathing down my neck. I didn't have a way to pay for that FedEx other than cash. And so I read the note on the bill and I said, you got to take this.
That right says, right. This note is good for all debts, public and
all
private.
Debts.
All debts.
Not just with the exception of FedEx.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he took it.
And here's the thing. I got shut down. I went to this stupid food court in Canoga Park where they had all kinds of food that I didn't know what it was anyway.
Right.
And I got so angry because I couldn't work the automatic ordering machines.
Oh,
and then
me too.
I figured I'm going to buy a bottle of water and get out of here. I went to buy a bottle of water, one stinking bottle of Sparkless. They would only take credit cards.
Wow.
Wow. So now we got the law, though. We got city councilwoman Heather Hotz on the case. So we're going to fix this. Thank you.
But it does discriminate.
You were, you're saying Tim was patient zero, is what you're
saying. He was. He was, once again, he was a pioneer.
Yeah. That's right. And I also remember I asked McIntyre, because we've been friends for what, 40 years or
no,
so?
No, we've known each other for 40 years. We've been friends for about two.
About 2 years.
Yeah.
But I said to him one day, I said, hey, buddy, what does your signature look like? And he's like, nothing has ever come good after that.
No, nothing legal. Nothing ever after. Followed. He walks into my house and says, hey, what's your handwriting? What's your signature look like? I go, Tim.
I needed somebody to forge a document.
You know what else I learned, by the way? In the 2 years that we were roommates, he was living rent-free in my house.
That's true.
Tim would... And I was trying to figure this. He would do the dishes, and I'm still trying to figure out what dishes they were to do because we only ate off of cardboard boxes. Yeah, we didn't eat. Nobody was cooking anything. But we would go through four bottles of Dove dishwashing liquid a week.
Right.
He would put half a bottle.
Oh, my God.
It was like soap suds filling the entire kitchen and spilling into the living room from him doing the dishes.
On Thanksgiving, McIntyre got up at 6 a.m., put a turkey on, went back to bed, woke up at 3 o'clock with the smoke detectors, put the bird outside in the trash because it was burnt to a crisp and went back to bed.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
That is a true story.
That's a bachelor's Thanksgiving.
That was a bachelor's Thanksgiving. Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
Mark Thompson is here.
Mark Thompson and I don't know. We had an earthquake in Ojai again.
Did right? we?
Yeah, just days after the 5.1. Plus, Hollywood studios are bringing back the mask mandate.
Absolutely.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
I think that's just so they can sneak A-listers into movie sets.
Yeah, good thought.
During the strike, they won't recognize it's George Clooney.
Oh, that's clever.
And then Death Valley got a year's worth of rain in 24 hours.
Good for
that. That's wild.
All right.
That's wild.
Lot to do. I love it, Tim.
Yeah, we got a lot going on.
All right, I'm sliding down the dinosaur. Conway next.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.